Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me. Hopefully you caught my presentation this morning and have all decided you're going to start coding Windows Phone apps, right? Yeah, exactly. Because of my presentation, right? So this afternoon, we're going to talk about localization, basically making your application available for other locales or other cultures. I mentioned it this morning. Let me mention it again. My email address is benriga@microsoft.com. Please feel free, don't be shy about emailing me if you have specific issues that you have not been able to resolve in any other way. I can certainly try and help you to get the answer. I've helped many other partners and customers before, so I probably know the answer, or I know someone who does. So hopefully we'll get your app into the marketplace sooner that way. I am also on Twitter, and I would ask that you follow me. If you don't follow me, I will kill a puppy. If you don't want to do it for me, then please do it for the puppy. It is @BenRiga. So if you do, if you prefer to communicate via Twitter, then please either DM me or mention me. And I follow Twitter very regularly, almost as much as email. So please feel free to communicate that way. So what are we going to talk about today? We'll talk about a few things. We have about 73 minutes left, so we're going to try and cover all of this stuff. We'll go through the basics of localization and what that means and all the various things that you need to know. And then we'll do the very basics of localizing Windows Phone apps, the basics around localizing either code or XAML. And then we'll talk about localizing of tiles, which is a kind of a special topic. And to be honest, it's kind of a crazy topic. It's a little difficult to do, and I have some tricks of how to make it easier for you. Then we'll talk about globalizing, publishing your localized app, and then I have a bunch of useful third-party tools that are available around the Internet, free tools that you can use that actually make localization much easier, save you a lot of work and effort, and so hopefully you'll take advantage of those. So let's get started. So the basics, let's just have some basic terms before we get started. First of all, there is the concept of localization. In Windows Phone, there are Silverlight apps and XNA apps. Today, I'm going to talk about primarily about Silverlight apps. XNA has a whole different mechanism for localizing, and it's a little bit different. So if you are building games, localization of games is a little different. On the other hand, you can use Silverlight in XNA as part of Mango. That's something we added. And so that stuff still applies for games. So if you're doing leaderboards and menus for your games, you can do that with Silverlight. There are a couple of terms that get bounced around when you talk about localization. There's internationalization, the I and then 18 and N. That means I with 18 letters between it and then an N. That's basically making a product multi-regional capable. That means you abstract out everything that is country-specific. So that's not just translating, that's language, culture, dates, all of that stuff. So that's what we talk about when we talk about internationalization. Localization, which is what most people talk about, is really adapting a product for a specific locale. And there you're primarily talking about translating of text and menus and that sort of thing. And then another word that gets used is often globalization, which is basically localization plus internationalization. So if I use those words, hopefully I'll use them in the right way, in the right context. Let's talk about Windows Phone and what's available to you in Windows Phone. Hopefully you've seen that in Windows Phone we support many languages. I'll talk about which languages are available. And you see that in the settings page in the region plus language section in English, that's what it's called. And that allows you to change things like numbers and currencies and time and date. And there is a class that you have access that gives you access to this stuff in Silverlight called Culture Info. We'll talk about that later on. I'll show you how to use it. And that's useful for globalization of applications because it gives you access to all sorts of built-in stuff that allows you to do things much easier because we provide you all the capabilities, things like sorting and that sort of thing, things like what the date format should be, and all that stuff. We just make it a lot easier if you take advantage of the stuff that's already in .NET. There are a lot of languages in Windows Phone. When we first released about 18 months ago, there was only a few. It was English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish. And with the latest release, as you can see, there's a lot of languages. And that's a good thing for you because it means you have a lot more customers because we're going to a lot more countries. So when you're building apps, you basically open up all sorts of opportunities if you build your app for the local language of whatever that consumer is. On the other hand, it means you have to localize for all these languages and you have to actually translate and understand all of the various capabilities that are related to that. For completeness, I included the features that are available. Not all features are available on all languages. Some of the smaller countries or the smaller cultures, like Indonesia, for instance, they have a SIP, but we don't have a dictionary, we don't do context sorting, and so on. So it's not all capabilities. For the most part, you will get full capabilities on all of the major languages, but you should keep that in mind if you get complaints or questions from some of your customers. There's a number of different types of fonts in the operating system. There's reading fonts and there's UI fonts. Reading fonts are the fonts that are primarily used for content. That means when you go with IE to a site that's Japanese, for instance, you'll actually get Japanese text in the browser. So that would be used for a reading font. The UI font is the stuff that's used for the user interface, as the name implies. Reading fonts are available on all devices. As you can imagine, any user might go to any website and they'll need to get pretty much all of those fonts. UI fonts is not the case. In fact, on my device, for instance, the device I use every day, I have pretty much only English and I think Spanish. And it varies from device to device, but primarily you'll get very few languages on your device. On the other hand, you do have the emulator, which gives you pretty much all the languages, and we'll be using the emulator most of them. In fact, we'll be using just the emulator today. The Windows Phone will render the font using the reading font if the UI font is not available, but you don't get the same sort of quality. And these are the UI fonts that are available. It depends on whatever language it is. For the most part, the Western languages use the Sago font, the Sago WP or Windows Phone font, and there's a number of other ones. Okay. So that's kind of the basics. Let's talk about what localizing means. How many people have already localized apps before? Well, you have already. Why are you here? You should be experts. So let's talk about some of the things that is involved that some of you probably have done already. Localizing an app means that you basically take out all of the hard-coded strings in your app. And that means they could be hard-coded either in code, you know, just quotes or whatever in your code, or they could be in your XAML. Basically, you take all of those out and you put them into a resource file. And then you call from your app, a XAML, or from your code into the resource file. And I'll show you how what that means in a few seconds. So primarily, you get one resource file for every localized culture that you're going to go to. And there's a number of different cultures that you can go, and you can go quite deep. First of all, you have to define a default culture. I'll show you where you do that in a few minutes. In my case, it's English, and so I define that as English. And then you would then start localizing. And you can localize to region-neutral cultures. So, for instance, if I wanted to have one localization that was for Dutch, no matter where you are in the world, if you want to use Dutch, you're going to get one application. Then you would just use the NL region, or same thing with French, for instance. On the other hand, if you wanted to have a different application or a different localization for Netherlands Dutch versus Belgian Dutch, then you would have two different localizations, and so then you would use the specific culture. So in the case of Dutch from Netherlands, then you would have the NL-NL. Dutch Belgium would be NL-BE. Does that make sense? There's a sort of a hierarchy of cultures there. And I'll show you in a few minutes what it takes to actually localize that. There are a few specific steps you have to take. They're fairly easy, but you have to do them, and I'll show you what they are, and they're very well documented. for localizing the strings within the app. Localizing the app title is not so simple. It's actually kind of, I refer to it as, there's a kind of a crazy path you have to go through to localize it. And we'll go through it today just so that you understand what needs to be done, and maybe you'll want to do it that way. But there is an easier path. There's actually a third-party tool that a developer has put together where you basically just type in your title, you press the button, and it creates what you need. And what you need, I have it up there, is you need a Win32 empty DLL. And you basically you create an empty DLL, and then you use that. You put a couple of strings in a resource table, and then you compile it, and then you have one language. And you change the strings, you compile it again, you have another language. You change the strings, you compile it again. So you have to do that for all of the 10 or 15 or whatever languages that you're localizing to. Whereas the WP7 localized tool actually does that in one step. It's actually very useful, and we'll see it in a few minutes. The other thing that's a sort of a special case is the app bar. The app bar is a very useful design as part of the design language, as part of Metro. The problem is that as part of the operating system, the app bar is not actually a Silverlight control. It's actually an OS control. And so it's not as easy to localize, because if you put your app bar in XAML, you, for whatever reason, you won't be able to localize it easily. And so if you want to localize your app bar, you have to create your app bar in code. And I'll show you what I mean by that in a few. Actually, I think we're going to do it right now. Who's ready for a demo? Okay. I was hoping nobody said no. Okay, so here is a very simple app. I've tried to make it as simple as possible. Let me close this up so that we can see what's going on here. Okay, I think my system is locked up. Okay, I'm not sure what's going on there. I think I clicked on the battery by mistake there. Okay, so it seems like Visual Studio is trying to do something. Let me... okay. You know what? We're going to close down and just reopen it. We don't need that. Let me just get to my... I had my environment all set up earlier, and it was all working, and I was ready to go. And then, for whatever reason, my keyboard locked up. And so I had to reboot like 10 minutes before I walked over here. So it may still be trying to boot. Let's see if that works. Better. Okay. Not sure what happened there. Okay, so here's my very simple app. It doesn't really do anything. Other than display a couple of strings. Hopefully your apps are more complex than that. Yes? No? Please. Don't publish them if they're not. So all we're going to do is you're going to translate those two strings. And so let's have a look at how you would do that. I have already translated this, and so I'm going to show you some of the pieces that I used just to simplify it. The first thing I did is, it's not evident here, but this hello and goodbye is actually coming from a resource file. And let me show you how I do that. I do that by binding. Okay, we're going to have some problems here. Let me just make some room because my screen is much smaller. You'll see the text block here. This is the goodbye text block, which is binding to localizeResource.farewell. So that's the code for the string is called farewell. And it's in the static resource localized strings. And so where does that come from? Well, let's look at the localized string. So if we look at, here's my app resources.resx. And so remember I said earlier that you would have a neutral language. In my case, it's English. And so here is my app resources without any culture on the end. I'll show you one that does have a culture on the end. And so here I have some strings that I've localized. The name of the string is along the left, and so when you need to pull that string out, you would use that name, and then the OS would actually replace it with whatever the string is that's been localized. And so this is the English one, and then when I want to localize for a specific language or culture, let's look at Spanish, for instance. Here's that same resource file, except now it's called appresources.es.es. So that's Spanish, Spain, Spanish. And so now I have the names, and then I've translated those. And those have to correspond. Those names are significant, so they have to be identical, and they have to be case-specific and all of that good stuff. I also mentioned that I had a default. Let me close this. We'll look at that later. That I had a default language. And so if I come to my project, right, so if I look at localized features, which is the name of the project, and look at the properties, and then if I look in my assembly information, you'll see that there is a neutral language. Do you see it along the bottom there? And so I have just specified English, which means any English, whether it's in the U.S. or Canada or U.K. or Australia, it's going to use this one localization. Make sense? You guys following me? Are there any questions? I should have mentioned this earlier. If you do have a question, please just raise your hand. It's better to get them out of the way so that we can make sure everyone is on the same spot. So where are those resources coming from? How do I get from that binding or from that resource file to that binding? Well, the way it happens is that there's actually a class. It's called localized strings. And that class acts as sort of a proxy. And I'm basically calling this class, and this class is then pulling it in from the resource file. And the way that that happens is that that class is made available via my app XAML. You'd look here, I've got a local namespace, and then for that local namespace, I'm defining an application resource with a key localized strings. And so by doing that, then Silverlight makes all the connections for you, and you don't have to do that. You only have to do this once for every application. Once you define your proxy class, which is tiny, I think it's one line of code, and you define your namespace and your app XAML, then all you have to do is do the resources. And so let's do that. Let's actually create a new resource. You notice probably that I didn't have Dutch here, so let's add that. So the way I would do that is coming to localized features, I right-click, I'm going to add a new item, and I'm going to add a resource file, and I'm going to call it app resources, and the naming is kind of important. I'm going to call it NL-NL, right? So that's Dutch Netherlands. Or Netherlands Dutch. So I'll add that. And so now I have this empty resource file, and so now I have to start adding in those exact same strings here. So if I just come back here, you'll see that, where is it? So I need button text, farewell greeting, and menu items. So let me just add those in. Menu item text. I said greeting and farewell. And we'll see if we're right or wrong in a few minutes. So button text, I think I used Bing Translate. Is that the right word for button? Knop? Is that, am I close? It's what? Oh, it's an O. Right. I can't even read my own writing. Okay. Menu item, I think, is just menu, right? Let's just, for fun, I'll just say menu Dutch, just so that we know it's different. And then greeting, I'll say hello. And then farewell, I had to ask this one, tot ziens, is that close? Okay, great. So I'm learning the language. Maybe you'll give me some extra points in your reviews later for doing that. So I'm going to save that. And so now I have defined my resource. I've added the strings. And so should be ready to go, right? Anyone know what's missing? There is one thing that you have to do. It's kind of a little bit of a pain, but you have to remember to do it. You have to tell the project that there is this resource file and what to do with it. And so the way you do that is a little bit crazy. You basically unload the project, and the project's now unloaded, and now I right-click on the project, and I'm going to edit the csproj file. And then you come down to the supported cultures. You can see the ones that I've already added here. NL-NL. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Okay, the gentleman is asking, are we planning to change this in the future? Because you always forget. We should change it just because you forget. I don't know the answer to that. I know that actually, I was having a conversation with someone about this, and they've actually changed the way you do localizations in VS11 for Windows 8 and so on. So I'm not sure what's going to happen in the future around that. So, and it's actually apparently getting much better. So I think the answer is maybe. How about that for non-committal? Right, and so now we've added that, so it should be ready. And so now I'm going to just reload, and it should give me a message. Do you want to close it? Yes, please. Save your changes? Sure. And so now we have, I think, everything we need. Let's try it. So I'm going to run, and let me just pull up my fancy emulator here. So the app is now running, and so the way I would test it now is I would go to settings. Remember I told you this earlier, you go into region plus language and change the display language to Netherlands. And in order to do that, the operating system would have to reboot. And so I'm going to tap here, and it's now going to reboot the actual emulator. Supposed to. Did I not tap? Here it comes. So it's now rebooting the emulator, and then it will load the new display language, and hopefully, if we did everything right, it should just work. I'm sorry, what was the question? Do I need to change the resource type? No, I don't think so. What resource type? Oh, you're right. I should have made it public, so it probably will not work. You're right. There is one thing where the should make. So it's rebooted. Let's see if it worked. There is one thing for completeness. It did work. And if we look at the thing, yeah, it did actually work. For completeness, the right way to do this is when you look at your resources, you notice the access modifier right here is public. When I created, let me come back to this one. It's doing no code generation, so that should be public, should always be public. And so I'm not sure how that affects it or where you would see that. But my understanding is that that's a requirement, so you should do that. Is that what you were referring to? Sorry? I can't hear you. There's this huge fan next to my ear here. It won't work on the device. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So now we've actually localized the text, and it seems to work. So now let me show you how you would do that with the tile. So if you come back here, you'll see that the tile of the application still says title neutral, and well, I haven't pinned it yet. If I pin it, which one of these is pinned? The top one? Okay. At some point, we may need to change that back, or it's going to be a slow day for me. Just for completeness, we defined it as tile title neutral and tile title neutral. That's the English one. And so the way that you would do that is, like I said, it's a little bit crazy. Let me show you here. What I've done is I've added an app resource lib, and this is actually a Win32 library. It's just a DLL project with an empty project. So when you create a Win32 DLL, you tell it in the wizard that it's an empty project, and then you add a resource string table. Here it is here. Let me just open it. And if we look in the string table, there's a string table here, and it has a couple of things in here. One is called app title, and the other one's called app tile title. And those are just random text. I'll show you where we use those in a few minutes. And we gave them a value of 100 and 200. Those have to be unique. And then we have the caption for them. And so in this case, it's titre français and titre til français, which means that's the French one. And so now we have to do the same thing for the Dutch. And so I'm just going to say title Dutch, and I'm going to call this one, title tile Dutch, and at this point, I'm going to save that, and I'm going to rebuild. So it's now actually rebuilt that DLL. So that DLL is now available on disk, and so I'm going to go to my localization feature. So I'm coming back to my Windows Phone project now. Right-click, I'm going to add an existing item, and come back up to the root here. It should be in debug, and there it is. So there's the one I created, 216.156. So that's the right one. So now I've got to add it, but I can't add it as a DLL. I'm actually going to rename it to appresourcedll.0413.mui. Pretty intuitive, right? There is a table on MSDN where you have to go and figure out. 0413, I had to write it down, is the one, happens to be the one for Dutch. And so I looked at, actually for Dutch Netherlands. And so you look it up and there's a table. And so I'm going to do that, and then it was 413, right? So I'm going to grab that file. I'm going to add it to my project. And then the build action here is content. I actually have a checklist because I can never remember this. And then we have to come back up to properties, WM app manifest, which is where, let me close this so we can see it, which is where we tell the application what to do with that. And so you can see in here that in the namespace here, here's the product ID, the app ID, and then here's the title, right? App res, here's the -100. So it's coming from that DLL with the -100. And then farther down, you'll see the one for the tile. And you can actually see these right in properties, I think. Yeah, you can see it right here. Right? So, pretty easy, right? It's a little bit crazy. So I have to admit, it's been a long time since I've had to create a Win32 DLL. So let me just show you an easier way. There is a tool that's been available, and I mentioned it earlier. And basically, you tell it what you want to call it. So if I would call it hello and goodbye, so not what you would normally do, but let me just show you that. And then if you want, you can basically go through and type all of the various strings here, which would be great if you know them. Or you can click the translate button, and he's got a feature in here where he actually goes to the Bing Translate API and translates the text for you. So you take a first pass, and then it will fill those in for you. And so now it just occurred to me that this doesn't actually fit on the screen. So there we go. So there we have my translation. And so here we would have, so the goodbye. Apparently Bing doesn't know how to say goodbye in, Totzins, right? And then I would click Save DLLs, and I tell it where. I'm going to call it in the new DLLs section. And if I now, those are saved and updated. If I now come back up here to new DLLs, here's my my files. A little bit easier than trying to create those Win32 DLLs and do it for you, right? So feel free to do it either way, but I know which way I'm going to be doing it. Just because, you know, as a good programmer, I'm super lazy. Okay. So let's come back and talk about a few other things. The idea of setting cultures and locales. Yes, of course. Sorry. The marketplace will pull the title from your DLL. Sorry? Not the localized one? I would have to check that. Can you email me and I'll look into that for you? My understanding is that it should pull it directly from the DLL. We'll talk about publishing in a couple seconds. I don't remember. You do get a chance to describe the application. I can't remember if you get a chance to change the title. You do get a chance to submit localized metadata as well as localized artwork. But I don't remember about the title. Can you email me and I'll double check that for you and figure out if that's a bug or if there's a workaround for that. I've never run into that. Right, so these are the just a few notes. When you talk about localized and having regional settings and so on, you can define your application. The way I prefer is just have all the languages in one zap, and then you have one zap that you submit, and then you have one zap that you have in the marketplace, or you can actually have localized versions of the zap, depending on how you build your application and what you prefer. You should also, in my opinion, this is a best practice, I think, you should allow the end user to change the app locale. So, for instance, if you are building in English, in my case, and going to Dutch, if I'm not comfortable yet with the localization, you may have an app where the translation may not be as good in the first few iterations, and so you may want to let the end user choose which locale rather than force them into whatever language they might have chosen. That's just the best practice, and I'll show you how you can do that in a couple seconds. You would use the culture info class to take advantage of that. You can actually change the locale that you're in of your application, or you can display the current culture as well as the various things that you can do with the culture. For instance, how to display the date and time, the currency format, as well as the currency symbol, whether it's a dollar sign or a euro or what have you. And you can also use it for doing things like sorting, comparing two items, and actually doing an array sort. There's actually .NET functions that you can use to sort, so you don't have to take care of that. And those functions will actually sort, taking advantage of whatever locale the thread happens to be in. Let's actually have a quick look at that. How am I doing on time? What time? We started at 1:30, right? I think we're okay still. Okay, let's keep going. This is an application that's actually right on the MSDN site. So you can go and download it and take advantage of it. It's very handy to see kind of the right way to select a locale and get access to it. It's really handy. And so it's a pretty simple app that shows a bunch of different locales and then allows the end user to select them. And then based on that, it would then change the UI or change the various date and time formats and so on and display what has been changed. So let me just run it, and then we'll come back and look at what it's doing behind the scenes. So here is the application, which is running in Dutch right now. As you can see, the UI is in Dutch. And so if I click on something, for instance, if I click on, I think that's Danish, right? It's now changing the content there and then showing me. That's kind of hard to read, isn't it? Can you guys read that okay? Let me try and make that a little bigger. Is that better? Is that better? Can you guys read that in the back? Okay. Basically, let me just show you. I just changed. I don't know what that is. I think that's Czech Republic. Yeah, it is. Okay, so there I changed it to Czech Republic, and then it's telling me, okay, so I think it's Čeština is the name of the language, but the display is still in Dutch, right? The UI is still in Dutch, but I've changed the regional culture to Czech Republic. And so I could actually, in order to change the UI, I would have to come back. Let's just do it. And I'll change the UI back to English and reboot, unfortunately. Let's take a question, sure, while we're rebooting. Yes. There's this really loud fan over here, so can you repeat that? Yes, oh yeah, absolutely, the Windows Phone. Just as a point of reference, the emulator actually runs the exact same image as a device. So there's no difference. That's why when you build for the emulator, there's a few small differences, but for the most part, the emulator is almost identical to what you would do on a device, which is really handy. And so when you change a language on the device, you also have to reboot the device. Yes? You would like to see it? The preview? Oh, in Visual Studio. I see what you're saying. So you're saying you would want, let me just close this, you would want this to be in whatever language you change? That language is the language that whatever Visual Studio is in. And so I think you would be changing the locale of Windows and then from within Windows. And I don't know if Visual Studio, I've never tried that. I don't know. Have you tried that? Oh, okay. You're just testing me now, right? You're just messing with me. What's that? Sorry? It would be useful, yeah. Where was I? So here's a globalization application. And so you see now the UI is using the UI of the device, but I can still change and use the regional format, for instance, for dates and that sort of thing. And so there's two different things that you can do there. One is to change the UI, and the other one is to change the display language. Does that make sense? Let's have a quick look at what's going on behind the scenes when you make that change. Here it is. It was there already. And so it's basically doing a quick switch on whatever comes back from that selected index. And then it sets the CUL string to whatever that culture is, and then it does a bunch of crazy stuff here. So the first one is setting, newing up a new culture, and then setting the current culture to whatever the new culture is, right, using that CUL string. Yes? I'm going to have to move away. I'm sorry. Yes. It would be up to you to make that change. So, sorry, for the question was, if I have a date in a text block or a text edit control, I now then change the regional format. Why doesn't it re- It would be up to you to make those changes. You have to make sure that you catch the event that a region, the region's format has changed, and then go back and make changes to the date format, the way you display it. You would normally store the date as a date or a date time, and then you would display it using whatever mask you needed to. Does that make sense? Okay. And so using that, once you have set it, you would then define culture info. There's two culture info variables I've created here, and then I'm pulling out to figure out what the culture, current culture is that's just been defined. That's the one we just defined. And then what the current UI culture is. And then based on that, you can see you're setting the regional format. There's a text block there. This is the regional format right there. And then we're just setting it to whatever the native name is. So it's actually doing the translation of the name and so on. And this is the UI culture. And then the same thing with the date time, just displaying that and then putting it into the various text blocks. And you have access to all sorts of great information there. Any questions on that? It's a bunch of other stuff I wanted to get to. So let's keep going. Was there any questions? We have seen some of this already, but the way that you do testing of localization is pretty straightforward. You change the region plus language setting in the settings. You change the display language. It does require a reset. And note that not all locales will be on all devices. In fact, you'll only get a few locales on devices. And so the emulator is your friend when you're doing testing of localization. Test the localized strings. I have some specific best practice around that. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Make sure you test the app title and the app tile. So the way you do that is pin to start, obviously. And make sure you have a lot of friends that are willing to test. So take full advantage of the Marketplace Beta Testing Service so that you get native speakers of a particular language actually using your application and telling you if something doesn't work properly. We talked about this earlier. Someone was asking about the title. When you deploy the application, the Marketplace Ingestion will automatically detect what languages are in your app, and it will pull the neutral language as well as whatever additional resource files you have, and then allow you to change metadata. And so in this case, you can see I have a red box around it. So you start off with English. Remember, I used just EN, so that's English International. If I had EN-US, then it would have been English United States. And then I have French and Spanish. And so I would enter the information for my English International app name, which is title neutral. And I think, who is asking about the title? I think it actually does pull the title, and then it will show it to you in there. So it should be pulling it from the DLL. I haven't tested that, so we'll have to, in fact, if you want, we can check it later, because I have something up in my iPub account that we can try. Come and see me after the event, we'll try it. And so then you have the ability to change short description, detailed description, keywords, email address, all of that stuff is all localized. You do it for English, then you tap on French, you do it for French, tap on Spanish. So make sure when you're thinking about localization of your application that you also think about all the marketing information. You make sure that that gets translated and is vetted and all of that good stuff, because it's the first thing the end user actually sees. It's what will sell your application. So it's kind of important. And then I mentioned this, but let me just say it again, that you also have the ability to have localized artwork. So make sure that when you're creating screenshots and tiles and so on, that you actually also localize your a few best practices or tips. When you are doing localization, there's some technical stuff that you should keep in mind. Leave enough room for your strings. Just as a general rule, localize strings no matter what language you're going to whatever other language you're going to. It's always going to take more space. I don't know why that is. I'm sure there's a reason for it. But in general, you should leave about 40% more room. And I have some tips on how you can test for that. And you may need to go multi-line with line wrapping, so keep that in mind when you're designing your pages and so on. Localize sentences and not words. Composite strings can be hard to localize, so be careful about that. Depending on different languages have different ways of constructing sentences and words, and so you have to be careful with how you compose your strings. Don't try to reuse strings. In many cases, that just won't work because context for one string in English that works fine across many different ways may not work fine in another language. And so you may be tempted to use the same string from your resource file because it's the exact same string in English, when in fact it might make more sense to have that duplicated in your resource file and just translate it twice so that the translator can translate it based on the context of where that string is being used. Am I making sense there? Yeah, keep that in mind. Keep in mind that some words in your language may be used for both a noun and a verb, and that may not be the case in another language. So, for instance, and I use the example here of the word text, right? I can say I'm going to text you some information using my device, or I can use the word text as here is the text of my document. And so that may not happen in another language. So be careful, even though it's the same word, you want to be careful that you allow the translator, whoever that might be, to have the flexibility to translate those with two different words. Avoid graphics with text, right? So when you're doing your artwork, don't put your text in your graphics, because that's going to make it much harder to translate, and it's going to be more expensive to translate, because it's going to take a graphic designer or whoever to go back and change that. And then every time you need to make a change, you have to go through that. So try to avoid graphics with text. There are some general tips. These are not really technical, but are good ideas anyway. Use short sentences when you're building your application, and keep those short sentences less than 15 words. Keep one idea per sentence, because if you have more than one idea, again, it becomes much more difficult to translate, and much more difficult for the translator to divine what you were trying to say in the first place. This one's hard. Try not to use slang. It's very common that when we speak, we use the slang of the language. Slang is very hard to translate from one culture to another. So try to use proper sentences. Avoid abbreviations. Again, abbreviations in one language clearly will not translate in another language. And use words consistently. If you're going to use a word for something, then make sure that you use that same word throughout your application. Graphics is a harder one because it really kind of requires a great knowledge of many different cultures, right? Because different things mean different things in different cultures. Gestures or signal, symbols, body parts, animals, colors, age, sex, these can all mean different things in different languages. So keep that in mind when you're designing your application icons and all of that stuff, because you could get yourself into trouble and actually have less sales because of that. Make sure you have a community. Make sure that you have people out in your community that are willing to help you to translate and then to test and verify that the way that you're building your application actually makes sense. And use the internet. We think the internet's good. It's going to catch on someday. It's got lots of good documents up there that are going to help you. People have been doing localization for many years, so there's all sorts of resources that you can take advantage of. I mentioned this earlier. XNA localization is very different. There's a really good document that I linked to. I think these slides are all made available to all of you attendees, so you'll be able to download these and get to these. This URL, for instance. You can still use Silverlight in XNA games. In fact, I would recommend that if you're building a game, the menu for your game, the leaderboards, anytime where you have a lot of text, it makes more sense to use Silverlight and then use XNA for the actual in-game play. And so when you are using Silverlight in that way, then the ResX stuff still applies. Okay, so how am I doing on time? I still have 25 minutes, which is great. So there are some useful tools. What we just talked about is great if you're building fairly simple applications. Once your applications start to get a little bit more sophisticated, when you start having a lot more translations, you start having human translators, it gets a little unwieldy to start moving these ResX files around, trying to manage them and all of that stuff. There's also some useful tools for testing. So there's a couple that I wanted to talk about. The first one is the idea of localizability. So even though you are building an application, it can be difficult to know if your application is localizable by a translator doing the localization while you're in development. And so there is this concept of localizability. And basically what that does is it helps you pull out the hard-coded strings from your application so that you see them immediately. And it's referred to as pseudo-localization. Basically, you automate the localization in a way that you can still use the application, and yet you can see where there's problems. And typically what you would do is you would take every string in your resource file. You would add a bracket on either side. The reason you do that is by doing that, you can see if your string is cut on either the left or the right. If you can't see the brackets, it means something's wrong. Then you internationalize the text. In other words, every character, instead of being a character, has an accent or a dash or something through it. And then you increase the text by 40%, just to make sure that however you localize, you're sure that you'll have room for that. And so the example I have here, remember we used the word hello earlier? So if you pseudo-localize hello, then it becomes open bracket and then this crazy word that has all kinds of crazy accents. You can still see the word hello in there because it's using letters that kind of look like the original letters. But you can see if it wasn't localized, you would see that right away. And then it adds the exclamation marks in the closed bracket on the other side. That would be hard if you had to do that by hand, and there's actually a tool that does that for you. It's available. It's a very old tool. It's been around forever. It's called Pseudoizer, and it basically you feed it your neutral language ResX file, and then tell it where you want to save the new ResX file, and it will just pseudo-localize it for you, which is really handy. And so then you would have I'll show you. Actually, I did it on our example. You would have an example where you have an app that's in English for your neutral, and then I used some other language. So in my case, I used English UK, English Great Britain, as my pseudo-localized. And so whenever I want to test that, I would switch into English UK, and then I would see all my strings. And then if I suddenly started seeing strings that didn't have accents on them or that the brackets didn't fit or it didn't have those exclamation marks, you can kind of spot it right away because it's very obvious when you're using pseudo-localization. Let's actually just have a quick look. That app that we saw earlier is pseudo-localized. So let me just switch my region to English UK and restart. And then while that's restarting, I'll take any questions. Did you have a question in the back? Just stretching? Okay. How am I doing so far? Is this interesting? Anybody learning anything? Okay, good. Yes. Yeah, good point. So the question was, well, if you publish that, then wouldn't you get complaints from the users in Great Britain? And clearly, when you do actually publish in release mode and go to production, you wouldn't be using that pseudo-localized. It's only there during the coding phase so that you make sure that your app is not localized but is localizable. What would you add in the debug? So you would want Visual Studio to do the pseudoizer for you automatically? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's not something that I doubt you would see that. It's just too specific. It's just not something that I would expect that the Visual Studio team would put someone on that, because it's just so much easier to just have a third-party tool like that that does it for you. Let me just show you that tool, by the way. I have, again, a link in my slides to where you get it. And here it is. And so I just load my resource file. There's my neutral one. And then I click, I can just resource one, or I can just say all of them. And then I save it back. Save, and it asks me where do I want to save it, what do I want to call it. And then in the end, once I compile it, and I start my app, you see that I now have an app. You can sort of still read the hello and goodbye, but you can also see that there's accents on them. Same thing on the button text. It's really small, so probably hard to read in the back, and the menu, right? All of those have accents, so you know immediately that that is localizable. Okay, let's keep going. I want to make sure that we have enough time for everything. So that's localizability. The other concept is automated translation. So again, while you're doing your development, especially if you're one or two-man shop, you probably don't have the resources to go and hire translators to do, especially if it's a complicated application. And so my suggestion to you is to take advantage of resources that are available. One of them is Bing Translator. So I, for instance, I speak English, French, and Italian, but I don't speak Dutch, and I don't speak German, and I don't speak Spanish. And so I can let Bing Translator do the first pass on those translations before I then go to my community and allow the community to maybe verify, or maybe I then go to a translator who refines my translation. But at least it's a fast way of getting a first draft of a language. If you do that, then I would strongly suggest that you allow the end user to change the display language within the application. Let's see. So this is, again, another tool, and it works pretty much as you would expect. Do I have it running already? No. Get rid of some of these here. It's a tool. Okay, I don't know what that's about. It's a tool you have to do. In order to use the Bing Translator in an app outside of the website, you would have to sign up as a Bing Translator developer, and you would have to go and get a Bing application ID, and then you would insert that in here. And by the way, the source code for this is available. And then you would basically do what you saw earlier, which is choose a resource file, open that, and then translate from English, which is what that resource file is. And then we've already done Dutch, so let's do how about German? And then hit translate. Translate's complete. And now I can go back to my project and say add existing item. And there should be a German here somewhere. I don't know where it put it. Interesting. Okay. Well, I don't know where it put it. It was in a folder, but it should have put it right where. Oh, there it is, appresources.de, right there. Okay, so that's the one I want. I'm going to add that. And let me just go and open it. And the only thing I have to do is change the access modifier to public. And there, does anyone speak German in here? Is this translation close? It's close, right? I mean, of course, it's a very simple application. Hopefully, your applications have more than two strings. But it's a good first pass that an end user especially if you're an end user that doesn't speak, like my case, if my apps are usually start off in English. If I'm sending my application to China, where most users don't speak English, it's more likely that they will use my application if I have a pass that's at least a good first draft. And then, of course, you would go the next step. Any questions on that? Okay. I have a couple more suggestions. This one is when you start getting a little bit more complicated. I would suggest that you find a resource. The one that I've been playing with is a company in Italy called Amanuense that has an application, a web service, that allows you to basically upload your ResX files and then allow you to manually translate them one string at a time and then pull down your ResX files when they're translated so that you can then recompile. Not so useful if you're the single translator. Very useful if you're using people in your community to translate for you, or if you want to go and hire a translator. And they actually do have services where they will give you a quote on translating a document and so on. They'll do that for you. They even go so far as to sync with your build process, so you could actually daily go and pull down the latest release. Especially if you're using the community to do your translations, you don't know when they're going to go and do a few more strings, right? And so if you do that, then every time you do a new build, you're getting the latest sets of localizations. Again, if you're doing a very simple app where you are doing the translation, not terribly useful. If you're doing an app where suddenly you have people in your community that are doing translation, or you have human translator, or if you have lots of different translations where you're doing lots of updates and feature adds and so on, where you have a multi-person team, it can be very handy. And in this case, I like these guys because they have a tiered pricing, and there's a free price where if you have, I can't remember, if it's less than 500 strings, then it's free. Over that, I think it's 10 euros a month or 15 euros a month or something. It's fairly reasonable. But anyway, so it's a really handy service. Any questions on that? So the process is pretty straightforward in this case. You would start off with a project which has XAML and C# and all of that good stuff. You pull out your strings into a ResX file, send the ResX file to Bing Translator to get you started in your translations as fast as possible so that you're using, so that your application from day one could have 10, 20, 30 languages. And then once you get to that level, then take advantage of either translators or your community to help you get those translations, get the bugs out of your translations, if you want to refer to it as that. I do suggest that you simplify and start with a few languages at a time so that you make sure that your localizability is working and that you have the right strings and that you've pulled out all your hard-coded strings and so on, and then start adding languages a few at a time. So it is pretty simple. Hopefully I've convinced you that it's pretty simple to actually localize your application. Hopefully that increases the number of the opportunity, the market opportunity for your application. And obviously the more people that are buying your apps or the more people that can use your app, the more people buying or using your app. And that means hopefully more money for you. More beer money, right? Yeah. I think I'm going to stop there. I still have 10 more minutes. If there are any questions, I'm more than happy to take them. Was it really that complete that there are no questions? Well, then I will give you 10 minutes back, and you can go and have an extra coffee on me. No charge. Excellent. Thank you very much.